It is good to have everyone with us today on, what day is this? May? I didn't write the date down. 19th. May 19th, 2024. Y'all did great. Everybody gets an A today. All right, we're going to be in Psalm 139, and I'm going to start out reading verse 1 through 6, and I was inspired yesterday by what Melissa shared as a devotional for Kylie and Daniel's baby shower. And I started thinking about the goodness of God. And she had come from the angle of God forming us in the womb. But I began thinking, this is a time of year when so many milestones and so many celebrations go on, you know, within families. And you have to stop. A lot of times you get worn out by them. You know, folks are doing parties and preparations. And I could tell a lot of folks were tired yesterday by the time they got to our bunch. And Judy's got a birthday party today for Claire. And so all these milestones and celebrations of life that are a gift of family, you know, the God-ordained family of a mother and a father and children, the way it's been established in the Bible, going back 6,000 years and all these blessings. And I thought about the accomplishments, you know, athletically and all these things. And I was thinking about the people in this room and, you know, the blessing of last weekend for y'all, Tim, as y'all got to see family. Lainey, and all these wonderful things. And I said, you know, our prayer list or prayer request list, as I was working on it last night, I said it's really a praise list, you know, of all the answered prayers and all the wonderful things. And so I started looking up some Hebrew words in Psalm 139, and so we're going to look at the intimate goodness of God. And in Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me, and you know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off, and you compass my path. You surround my path when I'm walking and when I'm lying down. And you are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together. You have beset me behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Where shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, I thank you for this privilege. I thank you, Father, for these smiling faces in this room today, the hearts that are aglow knowing that they are loved by you. Knowing, Lord Jesus, that they are taken care of by you. And knowing, Father, that there is nothing in this life that you will not carry us through. So, Father, as I ask you for forgiveness of sin and cleansing of daily, weekly sin, I pray for an anointing of your Spirit to share your truth. And, Father, that we can just rejoice. You are so good. And Father, I say that generally, you are so good. And now I say it personally and specifically, you are so good to us. And so, Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. In these first 6-7 verses, I want you, and I know you do, I know you see, and I know you notice, the great attention to detail that the Lord applies to our life and the way that He looks at our life. But what I want to share with you is what I think is a key to the first section of this psalm. And it says this in verse 3. It says, "You are acquainted with all my ways." In the Hebrew, that word is sakan, S-A-K-A-N. S-A-K-A-N, sakan in the Hebrew. And it means this. The primary definition is to be intimately familiar with. To be intimately familiar with all my ways. But it's deeper than that. And as Zedites gives that definition, he writes it exactly this way. To be intimately familiar with, and then he writes, by implication, for the purpose of ministering to. So the Lord, let's say this, and this is incorrect when I say wants to be, or desires to be, because he is. The Lord desires to be intimately acquainted with everything about your life because he wants to minister to you. Is that not fabulous? It's not that he wants to know everything going on in your life so he can zap you with a bolt of lightning. It's not that he wants to be intimately acquainted with everything in your life so he wants to hold you in judgment or make you feel guilty. He wants to be intimately acquainted with you in every area of your life so that he can minister to you, so that he can help you, so that he can get you through, so that he can strengthen you. And the reason I'm saying I'm incorrect in desires to be, that would be like me going up to Sharon and Dave and saying, you know, I want to know everything about you so I can best help you. Okay? Or that doctor saying to you, Patsy, we want to know everything about Jim and his health record so that we can better treat him in this medication. Well, as a person, you don't know everything about the other person, so you have to say, I want to know and I need to find out. Well, praise God, he already knows. He doesn't. The fact that he desires to minister to us in knowing is a wonderful thing, but it's not like it's any effort. It's not like it's any extra work he has to do. He already knows everything about us. Look at what it says. Lord, you search me and know me. As deep and deep as we can be searched, the Lord searches us. And that know us, that might be the understatement of the world. You know, that we can't even comprehend how well God knows us. Look at what it says in verse 17. How precious are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. I want to tell you something. I take that literally. I take that literally. They are more in number than the sand on the beach or in the sea. And I can't count them because he's an infinite God. And so I was trying to put it in some perspective. I think every time I take a breath, the Lord's got 1,000 thoughts toward me. You say, Brother Leo, how'd you come up with that? Well, I just came up with it and I can't prove it. But what I'm saying, that's the thought the psalmist wants you to have. You know, every time you take a breath, the Lord's got 1,000 thoughts he's thinking towards you. And look at what the scripture says. You know me when I sit down. You know me when I stand up. And then he says this. You compass my path when I'm lying down. And you're around me. You're acquainted with all my ways. And you're around me when I am walking. And then he says this in verse 2, you understand my thoughts. Well, what do thoughts do? Well, a lot of times your thoughts, verse 4, create words. There's not a word in my tongue that you don't know. So I want you to understand. I mean, all your thoughts, all your worries, Brenda, all your anxieties, all the things we go through in life, the Lord knows them. From A to Z and beyond, so that he can minister to us. So you need to listen to the still small voice. You know, sometimes we're all overcome with worry, and we're all overcome with anxiety, and we're all overcome with uncertainty, and you need to just stop yourself and say, Lord, I need to hear from you right now. I'm hearing all what I'm thinking. I'm hearing all what I'm saying. I'm hearing all what I'm worrying about. But Lord, I'm just going to stop. And He'll minister by speaking to you in your heart thoughts of peace and comfort and guidance. And sometimes all we need to hear the Lord say is, hey, I'm going to get you through this. You're not going through something your brethren somewhere else in the world have not been through. You're not going through something your brethren that sit right there in that hardware building in Wayne County, Tennessee have not already been through. You're not the only Christian that has ever been through this. You're not my only child. I know how to get you through this. And so the Lord speaks to us. And then look at what it says in verse 5. You have beset me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. And notice what he says about his hand in verse 10. Even there, wherever I go, your hand will lead me, and your right hand, that right hand always represents the power of God. The right hand represents the power and the strength of God. He created the world with His right hand. Jesus the Messiah is His right hand. Jesus the Savior is His right hand. He will deliver Israel by the power of His great right hand. So I want you to understand that right hand that's going to deliver Israel as He roars out of Zion, that right hand that created the universe and beyond is the same right hand that holds you. And so the bottom line is, the prayer is this, verse 10, even there shall thy hand, the hand that leads you is the hand that holds you. And I praise God for that. And you know, so often we pray for the leadership of God, and that's very important. But sometimes we need to just say, Lord, hold me. Lord, I just need you to hold me. I need you to hold me. Hold me up, Lord. I pray that for y'all. I prayed it for Patsy and Jim. I said, Lord, just hold them up as they go to these appointments. Hold them up. Just hold them up. And so this intimate, all-encompassing, all-powerful goodness of God that comes toward us, and here we go, Melissa, in verse 13. It starts in our embryonic state. Is that not incredible? As an embryo, verse 13, you possess my reins. Now, the reins are your organs, specifically the heart, the kidneys, and the lungs in the Hebrew. You form my heart, my kidneys, and my lungs. Well, what about the pancreas and what about the bladder? That was encompassed by that. The main three in ancient times, the heart, the kidney, and the lungs. So you have formed my organs and you have covered me in my mother's womb. And that word possess means to be held in the hand and formed. So I want you to understand, when you're in the womb, you know, God is forming you with His own hand. Forming you with it, how intimately He's involved in our life from birth until we go home to be in glory. You know, it's a wonderful thing. This doctor wants to know everything she can know about Jim. And like we said in the first surgery, we praise God for that great physician. You know, and so we'll push it up another level. We'll push it up to the great physician. We want His guidance in it because He's the one that formed those organs. Is that not incredible? He formed those organs. He covers us with protection. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. That depth. The Lord knew we were embryonic before our mother did. Isn't that wonderful? You know, nobody in this life can know you like your mama. Nobody in this life can love you like your mama. And here is the God, our Heavenly Father, who knew us before they even knew they were with child. And that's how far back he goes. You know, sometimes we run into folks in Charleston or somewhere, and I'll say, I'll go back with them, you know, to 8 years old. Think of how far you go back with God. And then even before then, and in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I knew how you were going to look. I woke up this morning to devastating news. Kylie put pictures on Instagram, or Daniel did, of the baby shower. And so the owner of Daniel's company out of Tuscaloosa sent a text to Daniel. And Daniel and he are very, very close. And he said, man, he said, you look exactly like your mother. And I said, are you trying to depress me before I go to church? Look what Matt said. Daniel looks exactly like me. I said, well, Kathy said he looked like both of us. Your sister Kathy said he looks like both of us. But, you know, God knew what we would look like. We saw, what was that, a sonogram this week, Patty? We saw a sonogram, and you could see the baby's face. And Kylie sent a little message to Patty and said, I hate to say it, but that baby's got Daniel's nose. You know, that baby's got Daniel's. That baby's going to look just like Daniel. Well, we know a God who knew what we would look like as an embryo. As an embryo. Why in the world would humanity want to take that away from God and take that away from us? Why would these scientific secular humanists, you know, want to make everything so impersonal? You know, that life came from a sludge and that an explosion occurred and there is no order and beauty and love and compassion and planning and forming. You, and that's why people grow up in this world and don't feel value, don't feel important, don't feel loved. That you know, that this movement of Satan has snatched it away. I am loved. You are loved by God who knew exactly what we would look like way before we were formed. And that's a wonderful thought. When you read that verse, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, he was with us in the womb. He's with us now. And he's taking care of us. And he goes on to say, you know, and all my members, my arms and my legs were written even before. And then Paul expounds on this. Go with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And I love this as he speaks to the folks in Athens. One point, I'll wait till you get there. In Psalm 139, you know, I was talking about how God formed us, and one of the side verses I wanted to go to, because I'd read this a couple of weeks in a study I was doing in Smith and Lee commentaries. And in Matthew 10:30, you're familiar with that verse, all the hair of our head are numbered. And it's talking about how you value, not a sparrow falls to the ground, and you're more value than the sparrow. And I've always quoted Matthew 10:30 on all the hairs on our head are numbered. And I've always said, he knows the exact number of the hairs on your head, whatever number that is. And I've been incorrect in that. Now, by implication, you can get there. What that verse actually means is each one of your hairs has a number. Now, is that not a thought? Each one of your hairs in the mind of God has a number. That's how, like this one here, that's number 24. Okay. I hope it's there next week. And if it is, I'll say 24 is still there. But what I want you to understand is, you know, that's how intimately detailed we have been made and developed by God. He knows the DNA sequence. He knows the genes. He knows the gene pool and all of these things in intimate detail. And so Paul is expounding unto those at Athens who are worshiping idols that are made out of stone and made out of metal and made out of gold. And so he's telling them who that idol to the unknown God is. And in verse 24, Paul says this, God that made the world and all the things that are in it, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. So the God that made the world and everything in it, that's the one that's holding you, getting you through. And he says this, he gives to everyone life and breath, and all things. So, you know, we want to talk about God's grace in salvation. The grace of God in salvation. The gift of salvation is an act of the grace of God. The gift of eternal life is an act of the grace of God. I want you to understand something. The gift of physical life is an act of the grace of God. I am here physically by the grace of God, and my life and your life is a gift. And it should be lived out as a gift. And the birds that are singing every morning, the beauty of the sunshine and the trees, and the ability to enjoy family and come together as family, and the ability to go out there and play that ball game today, and all these things that come into our life, they are gifts from God. And every morning when we get up, you know, You want to get up and say, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. How many folks get up and say, good Lord, it's morning? and you know, that and they live a life that way. They live a life that way. Defeated lives. You know, discouraged lives. Oh, it's bad. Oh, we got a lot on us. Oh, let me tell you something. All you got to do is say, praise Jesus. Instead of saying you got a lot on you, say, I want to praise Jesus. He has not left me. He has not forsaken me. You know, the devil wants all these horizontal circumstances. I want to say right now, I want to praise God. He gave me life. He gives me breath. And all things have been given unto me. And then look at verse 26. He hath made of one blood all nations. Now, every one of us in here, every one of us in the world are descendants of Noah's sons. The three sons of Noah. You say, why do you apply that to this verse? Well, it's quite simple. Look at what it says. For all men of all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, Shem, Ham, Japheth, you know, they spread out and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So all the nationalities of the world, all the countries of the world, where everybody settled, we can trace back to where that ark landed on the mount. And then they went out and proliferated. And so everyone comes from that lineage that goes back to Noah, that goes back to Seth, that goes back to Adam. So we are all of one blood. And I want you to understand our habitations, our countries, our families. You were gifted by God to be born specifically to whom you were born and where you were born. I want to praise God for God's grace to allow me to be born in America. I want to praise God for God's grace for where I grew up, where you grew up. You know, you look back over your life. You know, Jonathan has spoken to me a few times about growing up playing Dixie Youth and Little League and how important Mr. Barnett was to you and different things and your teammates and those things. You know, think back over that time in your life and how you grew up and all the people that were a blessing to you and all the folks you had. You know, as you went through elementary and if you played youth sports or if you're involved in other things and folks that are brought, like Patty Miss Boone, who was brought into your life at a young age and all these folks, that's not happenstance. That's not a Big Bang accident. That was all part of the plan of God. And I can look back over my life and see all the wonderful and beautiful folks He has blessed my life with. And you can also. And those have all been gifts from God. Where we were born, what community we were born into, what parents we were born into, all specifically chosen by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then He says this in verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. And the bottom line is this, that God is near. God is near. Even when you were a lost person, guess where God was, Cameron? Near. He was right there. If you'll just seek Him, you'll find Him. Then when we get born again, He indwells us. And as John says, quoting Jesus, He abides in us and with us and we in Him. When I said we're going to bathe y'all in prayer this week for that surgery, you are bathed in the presence of God. Where will I go to flee from His presence? There's nowhere I can go, but God is there. And He's already there. God is already in Thursday. God is already at St. Thomas. God's already got His people there. Patty had the surgery in Murray years ago after tumbling down those stairs on that Resurrection Sunday morning. The morning I baptized Lauren. I baptized Lauren that morning. Patty gets up, a bone sticking out of her hand, and we've got to get her to ER. And I said, she goes, well, you got to go because you got to baptize Lauren today. And Jennifer came and got Patty and took her to the hospital. And you know what Patty told me when she came out of surgery? She was talking to me about the girls that were around her with the anesthesiologist. And one of them, before she went into surgery, said, would you mind if I have a word of prayer with you? Is that not amazing? I mean, God has His people already there. You know, and what a wonderful thing that is. You know, girl she never even knew. You know, would you mind if I prayed with you? Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear somebody say? Yeah, you know. And so God has already orchestrated all of these things. God is near and His presence surrounds Him. And then verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as your own poets have said. You know, we live and we move and we have our being and we live out our daily lives. You know, we talk about worship. I want you to understand, every moment of your life should be, in your mind, a moment of worship. You know, we're going to go to the church to worship. You know, Patty and I were sitting on that front porch today, and it was incredible. It is every moment in Him we live and we move and we have our being. And then He says this, for we are also His offspring. So we are His progeny. We are His offspring. You know, I said the baby looks like Daniel, or Daniel looks like his mama. There are likenesses we have to our parents. And so Paul makes this point in verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, don't think that the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. So what does he mean there? He is reversed. us being made in the image of God, he's reversed that point for these people to realize our image represents who God really is. Well, what does that mean, Brother Liam? That means you can't make a stone idol out of him. God is a personality like you are a personality. God has feelings like you have feelings. God has movement like you have movement. God is a person, three persons in one. Three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit possess personality, possess thought, possess life, possess eternity. And so we relate to God as he relates to us, person to person. And so Paul's making that point. And so we relate to him not only person to person, but relationship within a relationship of intimacy. And so, Cleo, as you and I sat in the dove field and would have prayer before we'd start dove hunting, you know why? Because God is with us. And every time I would thank the Lord for the bounty and for the harvest, for what he had provided, because God is with us, there's an intimacy, there's a continual abiding, there's a continual consciousness of the presence of God. And Paul is saying, you people are wrong. You don't worship some distant God made of stone or wood or whatever. And these religions that seem to have God at such a distance, way out there in the cosmos, that's incorrect also. And so when we see the personality of Jesus with the woman at the well, with Zacchaeus in the tree, with Bartimaeus on the roadside, when Mary and Martha in the house, with Thomas following the resurrection, with Peter in the boat, you know, you're Peter, you're Thomas, you're Mary, you're Martha, you're Zacchaeus, you know, you're Lazarus. It's that one-on-one, you know, individual-to-individual reality communing and sharing heart-to-heart with the Lord. And Paul's trying to share that with those folks. And so this gift of life that God has given us and the goodness that he has given us in this life is for the purpose of our intimacy in our relationship with him. And so in him we live and move and have our being. I want to close out with just one verse today in Luke. And it's in Luke chapter 1. And I want it to be your verse this week. It's going to be mine. The Lord took me to it this morning. And I want you to take time this week and say this back to the Lord during your prayer time. You can open it up this way or you can close it. But in Luke chapter 1 verse 49, Mary knows that miraculously she has been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And she says this, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." And what I want you to focus on is, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things." He that is mighty has done for me great things. And I want you to focus on that this week. Lord Jesus, I just want to say to you, you who are mighty, you have done so many great things for me. Lord, you who are mighty have done so many great things to me. And Father, forgive me when I take for granted or don't stop enough to say, you who are mighty have done so many great things for me. And speak about some of those great things back to him. But let that be your theme this week. Like Patty said, we're living in such a world of despondency and attack, and such a world of this fallen world with all that goes on around us that is tragedy and heartbreak. I think there are times we need to be reminded that He that is mighty hath done so many wonderful and so many great things to me and for me. And when you look back over the details of your life and see the involvement of the Lord Jesus Christ, every breath, Cameron, every moment, every blink of an eye is another 100 thoughts of God toward us. You know, Liz, He is with us. I mean, He is with us. And my God is for us. But I'm going to read it to you one more time. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Yeah, I like the way it's phrased. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. I want you to take that verse and pray over it this week a few times. And let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And let the Holy Spirit bring certain things to your mind.